Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Tired Mummy Podcast, a safe platform where we can openly discuss the highs and lows of parenthood, judgment-free. Join me in authentic conversations with mums and dads from across the globe. Let's help each other feel less alone, let's grow and feel better in our parenting skin together. Come join our tribe while we get into some real talk. And don't forget, bring your coffee. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Alice Lainsbury, and you're listening to episode number 17. This is our first bonus episode, and today I talk to beautiful mama Micah. She is mum of one and a bonus mum to two teenagers. We have a beautiful chat about all things business and mum life, and we talk a lot about guilt, which like mum guilt, which comes up pretty much as soon as you fall pregnant and doesn't really ever leave. But yeah, we just talk about how she deals with that way better than she used to. It's just a really good mum chat. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Let's get started. Well, welcome to the potty, Micah. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to have a mum chat with you today. So can you please kick things off and let the listeners know a little bit about you and what's one piece of parenting advice you wish that you had never listened to?
Yeah, so I'm Micah. I live in Bulleye, which is about an hour south of Sydney, with my husband and my almost four-year-old son and for two teenage stepchildren that are with us some of the time. And then we've got a little dog, Billy Ray, and four chickens. So we live close to the ocean, and I really, through COVID, have loved being close to nature. And I've been always a big city girl. I grew up in Germany, and I lived on four continents. I lived and worked on four continents, and always sort of jet setting for my job and living in big cities. And when I had my son, we moved down the south coast. And we just love it. Like, we, you know, we still sort of go to Sydney, visit friends and stuff, but I really love the life on the coast and a bit slower. And yeah, with mum life, everything changes, right?
Yeah, I love the slower life. I lived in a city for quite a few years. And I think when you have kids, it's nice to just, well, slow things down a little bit. It's easy to get caught up in the just running on a treadmill all the time.
Yeah, and even if, like, everything is more difficult, you know, parking and getting from place to place and all the rest of it. And yeah, but I like still having access to Sydney, you know.
So
once a week I go into the office there. I work as well in a day job apart from my mama's beans business. So I love sort of having access to the city, but being in the serenity of our home away from the city. In terms of parenting advice, I was, you know, thinking about it, I think in our generation, we're probably a lot more blessed with being supported in doing our thing and finding our way, and it's a lot more acceptable to follow our own path. And, you know, I had a really supportive environment as well in terms of, you know, husband and family, etc. But I think as well, maybe having lived in different places and, like, being quite comfortable with new situations, I didn't really put much pressure on myself and said, you know, I want to do this thing, and then had the disappointment of not doing it. Or, you know, I wanted my child to, I don't know, walk by 12 months, and he was only walking, I don't know, by 15 months or something. But I was fine with it because I didn't put that pressure on myself. So I think it's more within our own heads what we have to sort of make out with our own self. So for me, I think one of the biggest issues in the early days was my husband, you know, he was a third-time dad. So he had the chilledness maybe, or the confidence of a multiple children parent. Whereas, you know, I liked that, and it probably helped me a lot to chill out a little bit more as well. Sometimes I really wanted to have that first-time mum, you know, overprotective or maybe over-worried. And I don't know, like, just over-caring as well, and just being really close to the baby and all the worries and, you know, that you have when you're first-time mom, because you just don't know. It's like everything is new. So just having in my own head the struggle of trying to be, everything is going to be okay and they're going to make it. And no, but they're so precious and so small and they're mine. And, like, you know, I really want to honor this time and this experience because it's so unique and precious. So that was probably the biggest thing for me, to sort of find a balance in that, and especially as well with the stepchildren, who were almost teenage age by that stage, and so they're also opinionated in, you know, what they knew from their mom and how they grew up and stuff. So it felt like it was four people in the family who had an idea of what parenting should look like, and so navigating that, it wasn't one advice, it was like just navigating what would be, yeah, like what you're comfortable with, and finding your own self in that journey was probably the hardest thing.
That's part of the journey, right? I remember feeling the same with the conflict of just wanting to be and be present with this tiny little child, but then also all of the worries and the sleep and if the breastfeeding, are they getting enough? So you've got all of these worries, but then you just want to be present, and it's like this constant pulling, like you don't want to forget how little they are, but you're so tired, and it's just, it's really hard to find that balance. And I can't even imagine how it would have been having all those external opinions as well, like having to navigate that in your mind and find that balance. But, you know, that's just part of the journey, isn't it? Like, we have to go through that. I think nearly every mum goes through something similar.
Yeah, and I think I probably only realised it a little bit more after that phase, you know, after I've come out of that phase. Looking back at it now, I think it's like, wow, that was really tough, and I was really, you know, I was probably, I always thought, oh yeah, I was fine, I'm loving it, you know, and I'm just sort of going with it, and I was really looking forward to being a mum, and I love being a mum. And then now I think it was like, wow, in those early days, I struggled, you know. And it's funny how sometimes only, like, when reflecting on when you come out of something, you can only see it for what it was. But, yeah.
Yeah, when you come out of that bubble and you're like, whoa, I'm tired and that was hard. But you're so, like, in it, you don't even realize.
I know. It's like, you know, when you say, it's like, oh, I want them to grow up, and I was like, I want them, you know, to be able, I don't know, like, for example, sleeping through, right? Like,
yeah.
So on one hand, you're like, oh, I want them to, like, stay little, and it's so sweet when they sleep on my chest. And then, you know, oh, no, I can't. Actually, I'm so glad now that they're able to sleep through. And, you know, nappies is another thing. It was like, well, I want him to stay small, but, I mean, you know, getting out of nappies, I don't ever want to go back to nappies, you know? It's like, I'm so happy we left that stage behind us.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I wanted to chat to you a bit about mums in business, because, honestly, I take my hat off to any mum that starts a business, because I feel like being a mum is a full-time job in itself, maybe like three full-time jobs. So when we, you know, start our own business, I'm just like, yes, go. Like, this is so good. Tell us a little bit about your business and what inspired you to start it.
Yeah, so I never thought I would run my own business. So it's sort of, you know, I always said to my husband, I was like, I'm a corporate renter. He always said, oh, like, why don't we start something? It's so good. He runs his own business. And I was like, no, I'm corporate. I can help you, but I'm corporate. And then, you know, going through pregnancy and then like breastfeeding as well, you know, all the, some of the stuff that comes with it, the guilt, you know, especially like pregnancy, heartburn, and you know, always love coffee, and in the late stages that heartburn, and also I said, oh, the baby's a bit small, and so I thought, oh, is it because of the coffee? I didn't drink much, and you know, there's no guidelines or evidence to say that you shouldn't have coffee, but I just still had that in the back of my mind. And then when I had my baby, when Max was born, he had colic, like probably most babies,
yep,
on stage. And it was the same. It was like, oh, because I still haven't stopped drinking coffee. I still have one cup a day. And yeah, it was, you know, so it was a thing. Like coffee was a thing, you know, even within the mum group, like we were talking about coffee and when to have it, and you know, while we're breastfeeding before, or what the best time was. And but you know, from my day job, because I worked in sort of sourcing food ingredients from all over the world, been to lots of farms and fields, you know, sort of trying to implement sustainable growing practices and all that. So I knew that it wasn't only caffeine of the coffee that sort of affected you know, our bodies, but like pesticides and chemicals and acidity levels as well, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously pregnancy, breastfeeding, you know, particularly sensitive to those things. And I also wasn't quite happy with the half-strength latte, to be honest. Like, it's like, I don't want half-strength. And, you know, all the coffee ads and all the coffee branding is always, like, full strength and, you know, like, really a strong coffee. And nothing was really going for, like, a bit of feminine touch and saying, well, you know, I want coffee, but I don't want some of the side effects, even, you know, like, feeling anxious or yeah, like, having those worries of thinking, is it going to,
like your heart's about to like explode because it's going too fast from the caffeine.
Yeah, I know. And you know, or is it going to affect my baby or something? So it's just one more of the things that you worry about. And so that irked me. But then how I really came about the idea was when I was for my day job, I was doing more that was after maternity leave, was actually involved more in coffee, and I was studying part-time as well, and I did some research on the coffee supply chain, etc., and was really, again, like, disgusted by, you know, some of the issues around sustainability, deforestation in coffee-growing nations, child labour, you know, 50% of coffee growers around the world still live on less than $2 a day, so... And then I found out about Australian coffee, grown coffee, and I was like, well, you know, when that was sort of the start of COVID, and I was like, well, why can't I find it in the shops around me? And what is this? Why is Australian grown coffee? And I can't, you know, I can't get to it, or I can't buy it apart from, you know, some online companies. So that's really where the idea started. I was like, I want to do something with Australian grown coffee, and I want a coffee that's good for moms and that suits the needs of any pregnant or breastfeeding mom, because she shouldn't have to feel guilty about enjoying a coffee. And she actually, like, it should be not a guilty indulgence. It should be like, yes, this is for me and it's good for me. And it's, you know, it doesn't harm my baby, and I can just sit down and enjoy my cup of coffee. So we were meant to get married in overseas in 2020, and then that wedding got cancelled due to COVID.
Good old COVID.
And, you know, so when that sort of transpired that we couldn't go, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And then, you know, I was like, I'm sort of a half cup full person. I was like, okay, I'll do a business then. Maybe I need to start a business. So I put, you know, the funds and the, like, my wedding planning energy, I put that into finding out what I do to start a business. And so instead of going to Europe for a wedding, I took the family. It's like, let's go Northern New South Wales. Let's visit coffee growers and let's find that bean. Let's go, for mama's beans. So that's what we did. We went on a family holiday, visited growers and, found the bean that I wanted. And with a, producer to say, I want low acidity, I want pesticide and chemical-free coffee that's low in caffeine. And, how can we do it? So obviously it's a lot more involved. And again, I was working full-time at the time or studying part-time. Work was paying for my studies, so I couldn't really defer or say, I'm starting my business. So, so that was probably, it was really hard. And it was probably a blessing that I didn't realise how involved it is to start your business. I just thought, I get a few bags, I got my coffee, how hard can it be? it was a lot harder. And so by the end of that year, like when I launched just before Christmas, I was probably close to burnout. So I was like, it was like amazing when I had the first bags of coffee in my hand. I was like so proud and I was like so excited. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And it tasted amazing. I was like, I love this. And then I'm spent, like I'm exhausted. I can't do anything. I don't even know. I can't even sell it anymore. Like I just want to sleep and lie down and leave me alone, sort of thing. So yeah, that was hard, but good. So that was really at the end of the year. And then I said, I never do New Year's resolutions, but I remember I just had started an Instagram account as well. I wasn't on Instagram before. And then I did this video, really bad video, but where I was just sitting down in the front of our house and I said, for this year, what I want is just set boundaries for myself and, not trying to do everything now all the time, but just sort of accept that I just, with what I have on hand, with like a job, study, this business and family, it's just not feasible. And so I said, okay, well, work is my priority. Like they're paying my bills. I need to get the study through this course. And then the business, I'll just work in the gaps. I don't need to, grow $1 million business in a year. And I don't want to miss out on time with the family. And, the stepchildren, they're only with us every other weekend. So I don't want to work in those times. And, it helped so much digging into that because it felt like all that pressure, my own pressure, but all that pressure I was, like, allowed to let go of. And I was like, yeah, my website didn't look amazing and, I didn't scale as quickly as I thought I would or could or wanted to. But it just meant that, I just had a better balance. I felt like present again and I didn't work weekends or late nights and it really, really helped my sanity and, probably family and well-being. So that was a long answer to
your question. It's good.
That's how it came about, really. I was like, no, I don't, I just can't. When I found out about this, I was like, I just can't not do it. I just have to do something. I just have to bring that to the moms because I know there's so many other moms that would feel the same way. And so I just couldn't not do it. And then when I did all of it and was exhausted, I was like, okay, take a step back. Like I can still do it. But I mean, I just have to take it slow because otherwise I'm going to be burned out in 6 months and I'm going to not be able to do it. So.
Exactly. Thank you for being so real and honest. I feel the same with the podcast. Like at the start I had put all this pressure on myself to have an episode out every week and push it on social media, and that's just not a reality for me right now. It's a lot of work doing a podcast, as any business, hours go into it. Usually it's in our own time where we could be maybe doing some, self-care, but we choose to work as well. Trying to find the balance of, I also need time to actually sit and do nothing and I also need to find time to run my business. It's really hard, but I think it is important to take the pressure off because then you enjoy it more. You're very passionate about it and it's the same with me. We have this feeling that we really want to do it And I think if we're trying to do too many things, we get stressed and we're like, yuck, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be a tired, angry mum. So I think it's important to just take it slow. It's funny, I'm really into the meanings behind animals. And in the last 2 months, I have seen on 3 different occasions a turtle. Like, when do you see a turtle? Like, I almost drove over a turtle twice at 2 different times. I had to pull over and move it off the road. And then in our backyard, a turtle rocks up out of nowhere. And I'm like, what does this mean? And it means slowly wins the race. Like, yeah, slow down. It's the same with our children, right? Like, I sometimes find myself getting, like, worried about how much he's eating, how much he's drinking, blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as I just go, Alice, just let it go. And as soon as I let it go, it's like he realizes I'm not stressing about it, and then he, you know, he'll eat more, he'll drink more. So if anyone out there is trying to do all of the things, just slow down a bit.
Yeah, give yourself permission to slow down and let go.
Yeah, it's hard. It's definitely like an art.
Yeah, and it's a journey, right? It's not all right, I'll let go today, I feel good. Like, it's going to creep up again tomorrow, or, you know, the next day. So it's not a one-time thing. It just, yeah, it's continuous. So it's continuous learning with it. And sometimes we're able to do it and sometimes we're not, but that's okay.
It is okay. My next question was, what has been one of your biggest learns as a mum?
Yeah, it actually probably follows on from the previous thing. So it's, you know, following your own path and stuff, as I said, I think, you know, I went pretty well with that. But the biggest learning is to cut yourself some slack, you know, going up from that, to really just think, yeah, just sometimes you want to hold on tight and sometimes you just don't want anything to do with it. So sometimes you just want to be, you know, their mom and just be like with them and, you know, want everything off them. And then sometimes I'm like, just take them away and I have 5 minutes for myself, and that's okay. Like, you know, we always talk about being consistent, you know, being a consistent and a conscious parent and all those things. I love the last episode about conscious parenting.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, amazing. And I really believe in that as well, but we just can't always be that.
No, we can't.
But that's really, I think for me, that's the biggest learning. But, you know, as long as we can sort of be open about it and talk about it, I mean, that's what we want to role model as well, right? That our children, like, they're humans and they need to feel like they can fail or they can, you know, not always get everything right and still be lovable and still be an awesome human, right? So, yeah, I think that sort of helped me a lot, like thinking about it that way helped me a lot to say, yeah, it's okay. I just, you know, I didn't do that well, or, you know, I wasn't, maybe that wasn't the right decision or whatever, but we're going to be okay. Yeah, just sort of have that bit of self-compassion is huge. I think if you can learn that as a mom, you're winning.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think, like, we're human, we're our own person, like, we have needs just like our kids have needs, and sometimes our needs come first. And the first time I think I heard someone say that was Tully from the Holistic Parent, and a little bit of me was like, "Ooh, that kind of, I don't know if it triggered me or what, I was like, that sounds so selfish, but it's not. Like, we cannot give ourselves properly and be the best mum if we don't put ourselves first and look after ourselves. Like, I've already experienced that as a mum. Like, if I'm exhausted and tired and I don't look after myself, I am a shit person. Like,
doesn't
work like that. Yeah, so it is hard to let go and put yourself first. Like, it's not an easy thing. And it can often sometimes make you feel guilty, which brings me to my next question, mum guilt. It starts in pregnancy, like you said, with the coffee, feeling guilty, you know, not knowing if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. And, you know, for me it was like my diet was like impeccable because I didn't want to feel the guilt of eating something shit, which I did, because for the first 16 weeks all I could eat was like chips and gravy because I was so sick. All I could eat was chips and gravy. That's the only thing I could keep down. So the guilt started very early. What made you feel guilty in the early days, and what guilt creeps in now?
Well, my guilt started as well while I was pregnant, really. So I didn't cut back at work until the very end, and I really wanted to prove that I could still do it all, that I could be pregnant, but, you know, I could still, I don't know, go out to the parties, and, you know, I went, for years we went to a festival 5 hours away just for the one night while I was pregnant, and, you know, I was like, yeah, of course I can do that. And, you know, I was cycling to work until I was like 7 months pregnant or something. So then, you know, and then with the coffee drinking, so on one hand, I really wanted to do all the things and to prove, like, I think especially in the workplace, to sort of, you know, I didn't want people to think, oh my gosh, she's going to be born soon, you know, like, oh, she's going to be a mom. And then, yeah, like lose that relevance. Like it felt a little bit like, you know, people think, oh, you're going for maternity leave, or, you know, you're with your friends going out and stuff, and then, oh, you cannot be pregnant, you're going to be a mom now. And then I wanted to say, no, I'm still the same, you know, fun person, and I'm still the same, like, committed workout. And yeah, I really felt I had to prove something. I don't know why. But yeah, so that was during pregnancy. And then again, you know, because Maxie was, you know, said, oh, he's a bit smaller. And so I thought, you know, it's what I'm doing, or it's like not slowing down or still doing all the things, you know, sort of adding to it. And so I tried to put in, and, you know, like, so I was trying and failing and trying again. And yeah, so that was a lot of guilt. And it was actually, you know, when he was there and he was well, and he was healthy, that made it a lot easier. I didn't, you know, actually in the early days, I didn't have as much guilt as I had during pregnancy, because I was like, yeah, he's here now, he's well, and I can do this, you know, I can do this. And it's funny, when I actually spoke to my husband and I told him about doing this podcast, and I said, oh, you know, I'm talking about mum guilt and such, I'm just like, mum guilt? Like, oh, is that when you have a baby and you're neglecting your husband, your partner? Or what is it?
Oh my gosh. No, honey, no.
You know, I was thinking, it really made me think, and I was like, isn't that interesting that, you know, this, like, it just shows how different our experiences are, as opposed to, you know, as a
so
dad.
True.
And it's right. I was like, mum guilt is so strong, like, focused on what we're doing with our kids and not doing with our kids, and how we're treating them and not treating them, and how we're present with them or not. And then, you know, but really, what about the relationship with our partner in that time? And is, you know, because if you think of it, it's really, I thought, yeah, I was being a good mom, and, you know, I was calm most of the time, I was very, like, was nurturing, I was doing all these things, but that meant by the time it came to my partner, you know, I was exhausted, but no tolerance, and it was difficult, you know, even now, like, even to this morning, or like most days still now, like, our little one comes into bed, starts kicking, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning, starts kicking around. So my husband leaves and goes to sleep in another bed, because it's like, it just, you know, it's kicked out of the bed, basically. So I think the mum guilt, it made me think that it's so much broader than that. So it's more about actually the ourselves as a person, and, you know, feeling guilty in general. And so I think it's more, not so much of how we feel guilty, but how can we do more of the things that bring us joy? And therefore, you know, as you said before as well, be a better mom and a better partner, and let go of the guilt, because we know we're confident, more confident in what we're doing, because we know, like, you know, we're doing well for ourselves, and that means we're doing well for our family as well. So, I feel a lot different about it now, and that really helps me as well to not you know, feel, get too much caught up in the guilt bubble. I mean, you know, it creeps up and then, you know, it still comes up all the time, but it doesn't really, it doesn't consume me anymore.
How did you get to that point? Is there a particular moment that propelled you into just being like, stop this, I don't want to feel guilty anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, again, like it's such a journey. I think it's only in reflection. I think some of it was, you know, as a, for me definitely it was like, you know, I was coming from a high pressure job, like jet setting, lots of responsibility, big team, and then being a mom, and I loved it. And, you know, I think I didn't have much guilt around the mom thing, but it, I now realize that I really struggled with not having reward or, you know, the like some recognition or something other than not changing nappies in the day and, you know, putting the washing out.
I totally understand you, yeah.
I didn't realize it so much then, but I was, yeah, lots of times so unsatisfied with my achievements or, you know, what I thought I needed to achieve. And so I think that was the biggest part of letting go. And I think I only realized that once I went back to work and found a bit more of a balance again, that this guilt was really more driven of how I felt, you know, I needed to be validated, because I felt guilty about that not being enough, you know, having like a healthy child and living a good life as a happy family.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not enough. Like, of course that's enough.
I get a bit emotional, hey, like listening to you. I'm just like, where does this come from where we are trying to reach these impossible things? Or like, you know, you said that you weren't getting recognition or you didn't feel like you were achieving, like by changing nappies and doing washing. And I'm like, but we're raising a human being. Like, whoa, like what? How do we not recognize that? Like, it's insane.
Yeah, and even though I think we know that, and I was like, I know I'm doing a good job and I know this is what I'm here to do, but it was, yeah, it just didn't.
Still doesn't feel like enough sometimes, does it? Like, it's weird.
And I think, but it is, like, you know, we had a massive change. So, you know, I said that I came from a job, so lots of meetings, people coming to me, asking for advice and stuff. And, you know, and then we moved as well, like right at the, you know, we moved to Bulleye out of Sydney when Max was 10 days old, which just happened to be that way. So I was, you know, as well, felt sort of, didn't know many people, felt isolated. And, you know, the beach was my lifesaver. You know, I went for a walk down to the beach and looked at the ocean. And that made everything not so bad or amazing. And then mum groups, you know, really sort of I went into it like, well, which mum groups are there? I went to two different mum groups just to meet some people, because it was just the lifestyle change. And again, like I thought, you know, everything was fine and I loved every bit about it. But I just didn't recognize that actually, you know, me as a person, I wasn't used to this. I really had to adjust to learning that actually the achievement comes in other shapes and forms. And it's not by, you know, someone saying, oh, you really helped me with this project, or, you know, like, oh, that was a great trip that, you know, we went on. But it was like, wow, like, you know, we went for a walk to the beach today, or I saw this first smile, or, you know, like, those things, and they're amazing. But yeah, it takes a while, it takes a learning. So I think for me, when I came out of that season again, that was like going back to work and having a little bit, that's when I recognized actually, oh, I get that. I get a little bit what I was missing and actually how much I thrive on that as well. And I really do need that for my balance and for my well-being and my happiness, my own happiness. And again, then, you know, made me a better mom in the end. And it helped with feeling guilty about going back to work after, you know, like it was only 10 months old when I went back to work, but it really helped me because I felt that I just felt so much better again as a whole, you know, as a whole, and was sort of growing into who I was now, because you lose a bit of yourself and then you're confused and think it's like, oh, obviously not who I was. I didn't have a baby, and now is, you know, this baby, is it all who I am? And then, you know, you come to the next stage, which is like, okay, now I'm still my own person, I have a baby, and it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, it's interesting how much you learn about yourself when you become a mum, things you that just never entered your mind. It's quite a journey, and it's quite a transformation, because you don't get to an end point. You're like always growing. But if we let ourselves experience it and we reflect on it like we are now, it's amazing. And if we let it, like, it can be amazing. Like, growth is amazing.
And I'm so grateful for that experience as well, because, I mean, I became a mom pretty late, and because of, you know, living in different places and working all over the place, traveling all the time. So, you know, I come from a sort of bigger family, and I always thought I would have kids, but it just sort of never happened. And it wasn't that I was desperate to have children. I thought, oh, I definitely need to have kids. So now I'm thinking, I was like, as you said, it's such a growth journey as well, and I just feel like so enriched by the experiences. I wouldn't want to miss it for anything. And not only what we learn about ourselves and how we sort of get to feel inside ourselves, but it was also time reflecting on the relationships with, you know, like my mom, and thinking about my sister and my close friends, you know, being mums and all that. It just put everything in sort of a different perspective, and I love thinking about it from that angle of now actually being a mom myself. And yeah, that was really beautiful.
It is beautiful. Now, if you had a magic wand and could go back and tell your pregnant self anything, what would it be?
Lots of stuff that we already talked about. So I think self-compassion, really listen to what we need. Like, you know, for me, it was a really, you know, I felt like I had to prove something. I had to prove, like, that I still mattered, that I wasn't going to, you know, go off on maternity leave and be irrelevant, but it still mattered. And now, like, yeah, I would say it's like, yeah, you're growing a human. Of course you matter, you know. And that would be it. Like, no, nothing further needed. So that's what I would go back and really actually be present in that moment of, like, feeling the feels of being pregnant. Because it took me even a long time, you know. I didn't know, obviously, when we decided to have a baby. It, you know, for my husband, it took a bit longer to get around because he had two kids already, and then the relationship didn't work out, and he was scared, right? Like, he was scared that that would happen again. So when I felt pregnant, I thought, oh, maybe something's going to go wrong, or maybe something, you know, is going to happen, and who knows. And so I was really, as I said, I was just doing the things I was doing all the time and not actually stopping and acknowledging the amazingness that it actually is.
The amazing, magical people we are, growing a little human.
Yeah. So that's what I would say. I was like, give yourself some credit, woman, and celebrate it, and you know, enjoy it. I mean, obviously it's hard to celebrate, but I didn't have sickness or anything like that, so you know, I say, like, celebrate it and enjoy it. When for some, I know it's just, oh, how do I get through, you know, my sickness or my issues. But I mean, even if you're not feeling amazing, just give yourself some credit and have some self-compassion to actually know what an amazing and magical thing your body is going through and doing. So that's already enough, regardless of anything else that's happening around you.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. I loved this chat. I love having a good mum chat and learning about others' experiences and, you know, how you got to where you are now and what you've learned. It's so lovely to hear. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the potty.
No worries. Thanks for joining me.
If any of the Tired Mummy podcast episodes resonated with you and you would like to support the Tired Mummy podcast, please head to patreon.com/the Tired Mummy podcast or visit the link in the show notes. Your support helps me keep the podcast going. Thanks so much for your support and the love on every episode I produce. If you'd like to follow my journey, you can follow me over on Instagram under the Tired Mummy Podcast. So much love to you all. Until next time, this Tired Mummy is signing out.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.